Hey, y'all.
¿Qué lo que?
Wait, why are you a rich bitch?
I'm a rich bitch. I got a new mic. Something, something, something. I don't know. I was going to try to rhyme something with mic, but I guess I just forgot. Anyway, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I think it. We're live. We're good.
Yay! Wow. Happy New
everybody.
Year, Lord.
Happy New Year, Liz. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
I know. Here we go.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey, Y'all, Que Lo Que, the podcast where we talk about cultural similarities, the challenges of getting older, and meeting each other along the way. Again, we are your humble hosts. I'm Bernard.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And again, we just want to wish everyone a happy new year. 2021 really came in hot.
Yeah, dude. 2021.
Exactly.
You almost 2020
won. And it's still winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we should, first off, I think we should let the audience know that we are recording virtually. Yes. So if you guys hear any, we're trying this out and we're doing our best.
So we appreciate y'all being patient with us.
Yes.
Yeah. No, crazy, crazy stuff was going on right now. I think it's funny because like at work, I find myself like, I'll have my computer screens up and then I'll have my phone up and I'm a news junkie a little bit, but I have like my phone up and like watching the live updates. Oh my God, it's crazy. But it's crazy. I just want to know what's happening. Anyway.
No,
I remember when it was. Yeah. I mean, it makes me miss them times when we were younger and I didn't binge the news so much.
Oh my gosh, I know. Is this, you're getting, dare I say, old. Just kidding. You're not. Seasoned is the new word that I'm using.
Well, I feel like I'm aging gracefully. No one ever guesses my age, so I'll take it.
You know what's funny? It kind of goes off of that. I think I've reached the age now where I might start lying about my age and just
shave off a few years.
I think this is the year that I just turned 29 again. Like, like, yeah, I had my big 30th birthday last year, but I think 31, when people ask me how old I am, I'm going to say 29. I think it starts now. And this is like, you know, some, I know like some people, they might have like great aunts or grandmothers who do that and they don't know how old their grandparents are.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, well, my grandmother.
Yeah, you're like, my grandmother's been 29 for 100 years. And I think this year might be the year where I start doing that. But yeah, it's been caca crazy out there in the world.
Yeah, it's been nuts. It makes you like, not that it's necessarily like scary. It's scary like in an existential way. You know what I mean? Like,
in
you're
a
like
new way.
Yeah, like as far as like, you know, are things gonna hold? I don't know. I just want to go back to when I was younger, when things were simpler. And I had normal fears, like el cuco and things like that. El cuco is the Latino boogeyman.
Is that what you were afraid of as a child?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I was terrified of el cuco. And the funny thing about el cuco is that it could be in anything. It could literally be anything. But even more, even crazier, and I'll get back to El Cuco in a minute, but even crazier than El Cuco, I was one of those kids, you know, that like, I used to have to be taken to the dentist when I lost a tooth because I needed a professional to handle my teeth. And I would tell my parents that. I'd be like, y'all aren't qualified to take my teeth out. Like, I was like, I want to go to a professional. So anyway, I was that kind of kid. I was like a little neurotic. It was very weird. So what I was most afraid of was the Ku Klux Klan, because I knew that they were an actual, like, they were a real group, you know what I mean? And I was moving to Georgia, and I was in New York, and, you know, nothing, when you grow up in New York, everything in the South is like, the Klan is everywhere. Like, right. You know
it's
what like, I mean? Like,
your neighbor, it's like, people do think that way too. It's so true.
And this was back in like the 90s. Like, this was a long time ago. That's not even like today. So anyway,
I would expect yeah, that Dennis Corey eventually. That's really funny.
Oh yeah. No,
you would leave the tooth and ask to go to the, as a child. I was afraid of the fucking dentist.
I love the dentist. I love their numbing the numbing stuff that they put in your mouth because it tastes like bubble gum. I like the little tube that like sucks out like your saliva. I thought that was like so cool. I was like, oh my God, I don't need to spit. Like, I thought it was awesome. I was not scared of the dentist, but it sounds like you were.
Yeah, and like I had a really good family dentist too, Dr. Murphy. Shout out, man, if you ever listen to the podcast. Like, I've been ever since I moved back to Georgia, I've been trying to go see Dr. Murphy, but you know, you guys know I lost my job and I didn't have health insurance or dental or whatever. Maybe I can go now. Yeah, maybe I can go now. Yeah, he did have a like once I was finished with my appointment, we got like you got to go like choose like a toy from like the little cupboard. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know, it was like a prize closet.
That was why I said I needed a professional.
Oh, you wanted something from the prize closet.
And a new toothbrush and all the perks. But yeah.
And a sticker and a lollipop.
Everything.
So can we go back to El Cuco? What is this Dominican boogeyman?
Yeah. So El Cuco is the Dominican. I don't even know what El Cuco really looks like, to be completely honest with you. They would just tell these stories, like when you're younger, you know, they'll try to like, they'll be like, oh, you know, you need to take a shower or, you know, go to sleep at a certain time or the boogeyman is going to get you or something like that. You know, tell kids, you know what I mean? So El Cuco, to me, when I was younger, like I kind of imagined it as this spirit, and it was like a spirit that would like take over like different objects, because I used to see El Cuco in a lot of places. And I was like, if El Cuco is this little wooden carved out figurine that my grandmother has that they like to point to when they say El Cuco, or if it's something else at like my mom's house because the figurine isn't there, I'm like, El Cuco got to be moving between these things. So it has to be like, that's what kind of kid I was.
Like a spirit.
But El Cuco is actually like, it's really like the boogeyman of like Latino America, like of Latin America. I feel like a lot of Latinos grew up with El Cuco or some kind of fear of El Cuco, sort of like La Chupacabra, but it was really just like a boogeyman. Like, you know how the boogeyman can creep out from under your bed, or like it could be in your closet.
The closet, the pantry, any dark spaces. Yes, I know where the boogeyman lives.
Exactly. That's El Cuco.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And he could be in a shadow. He could be in a little figurine. He could be, I don't know. What were you scared of?
That's not that weird. well, I was exceptionally afraid of the witch from Snow White. And I'm talking like when she turns into like the wrinkly, big-eyed, wart. That lady, like I used to have to ask my mom to like fast forward the VHS. I was like, mom, fast forward. I can't watch. I swear. And she used to have to be like, ugh, and walk into the room and come fast forward. And then I was okay again. I was also extremely afraid of I don't know if anyone listening, have you guys ever seen the movie Ferngully?
Oh man, you introduced me to this movie.
It's an animated movie. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it. It's an important film. Anyway, the pollution, that pollution man. Maybe that's why I hate littering so fucking much. I have no excuse. If you litter, like, oh my gosh, I'll litter yourself out of my car. Like, I cannot stand littering. And maybe that's why. I think I watched Fern Gully.
Programmed early.
I think that just came to my head because I remember being horrified by the guy, the pollution man. And I think that character from Fern Gully, Pollution, and he has this like eerie song that he sings and he's like sucking up like the pollution like in a tube. I don't know. Now that I think about it again, it's a really good animation. Anyway, but I think the combination of those two horrific characters from those animated movies that I really liked became what I saw as a child as the boogeyman.
That makes sense.
That I know. I literally just connected that. Like, real time. Like, I just came
had an epiphany in real time.
Yeah, in real time. This is a live epiphany. Because that's what he looked like.
Yeah.
I remember it was Christmas Eve, and I was living at the house I grew up in Ellenwood, Georgia. And every Christmas Eve, for some reason, I always slept in my brother's room. And he had a bunk bed at the time, and I was sleeping on the top bunk. And I'm on the top bunk. It's Christmas Eve. Woohoo! I'm excited. You know, you can't sleep. Like, it's hard to go to sleep because you're excited.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So he's playing the original Nintendo 64. It's Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to fall asleep, but I got the Christmas Eve jitters, of course, because I'm a child and my mind is racing. And
too excited.
I was way too excited. And he probably had the lights off, so it was probably dark, and just like I normally do when I was a child, and even as an adult, I look into dark places and my imagination runs wild. I think what happened was I imagined my two worst fears, the pollution man from the movie Fern Gully and the witch from Snow White. The ugly one.
I love that you call him the pollution man.
I forget what his real name is, but that's what he is. He's like pollution man. Have you seen, anyway, if you guys haven't seen Fern Gully, like I said, it's an excellent film. It's very
It's a great American classic, everyone. You should watch it. It's a very important film.
Yeah. Save the rainforests. I wanted to be her. Anyway, okay. So, I did.
Oh my God. Okay.
So I go to sleep, but I'm looking, you know, in the dark, you start imagining these things. And I woke up out of my sleep, or maybe this was just an extremely vivid dream, but I swear I saw the boogeyman, or at least my version of the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the end of the bed, and it's like those two scary characters had a baby, and the baby grew up and got really old
and went through a bad emo phase or something.
Yes, he was definitely bald. He was dripping, and he was like,
oh my God. You know, it sounds like you're describing one of the hormone monsters from Big Mouth, if you've ever seen that show.
Are they slimy? Like, they drip? Because this motherfucker was dripping.
It's so funny.
Were you, this is kind of like a side note, but were you ever like afraid of like the dark?
Yeah, I was afraid of the dark, but it didn't last very long. Like, once I realized that, like, and I feel like I learned this at an early age too. Like, once I realized that there's nothing actually like there, like it's just no light,
space,
and like,
yeah,
and that just sat with me, and I was like, oh, I get it. And I would walk through the dark like no problem. Like, now I tell you what I was scared of though in the dark was Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. Do you remember that movie?
The cartoon
where the monsters are real? Yeah.
You know what? Legit, I do actually remember that. And that's another really good movie.
Yeah, no, that was a fantastic movie.
That was that's probably the scariest episode of or not episode because it's a movie, but that's the scariest Scooby-Doo
thing that has come out. Yeah, no, that commercial, like I remember being at my grandma's house and that commercial would come on and I would get up and walk right the fuck out of the living room. Like, and I'd be like, well, looks like it's time for me to go. I'm going to go make a sandwich and wait for this commercial to end and I will come back.
It's so funny because I feel like, so you mentioned El Cuco, mm-hmm. and your grandmother having that little wooden figurine of El Cuco, mm-hmm. and then you were just watching the scary Scooby-Doo.
I spent a lot of time at my grandma's house.
At your grandmother's. Yeah, you spent a lot of time at your grandma's house, yeah. And I'm sure you have some interesting stories about your grandmother.
So I know where you're going with this. Like,
yeah, because I really want you to share this.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like, I guess this is why a lot of things didn't scare me as a kid. Like, that Scooby-Doo scared me, El Cuco scared me, and the Klan scared me. But when I was younger, when I was like 7 or 8 years old, maybe 6 or 7, I remember my grandmother taking me to a Santeria party. Now, for those who don't know, Santeria is like, it has influences of like some voodoo, but it is really, it's a religion that comes from the origins of like West Africa. Like the slaves brought it over from Africa to the Dominican Republic, or not to the Dominican Republic rather, but to Cuba is really where like a lot of the traditions got passed down. And then Santeria became recognized as something in Cuba as an actual religion, like in the 1800s, actually, I think. But from there, like, it spread.
So there's a lot of history. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was already pretty prevalent in the Dominican Republic. So that stuff got passed down. And I feel like it's, some of that stuff is more prominent with some of, like, the Black Dominicans because of, like, the mm-hmm. African ancestry than more, like, European, like, Dominicans with, like, more European ancestry or whatever. But I remember this time that my grandmother took me to a Santeria party. Now, that party, like, it had, there were a bunch of people just standing in a room. There was no furniture in the living room. Very bizarre. And this
was
in New York City.
Was it her house?
This was in New York City, and it was an apartment, right? And it was an apartment right on my grandmother's block in Washington Heights. So you go into this apartment. And it was the guy's house. The guy that was hosting the party, he was like some kind of priest or something. Like he had like I remember him wearing like a green garb, like it was very long, and he had like a green hat, and his eyes were like really wide. He's this black guy with like this like thick beard and just very.
Was it a long beard?
It wasn't that long, but it was pretty full. It was pretty full. Yeah, it was very thick, very thick, and he just had this intense look about him. And I remember going to, because, you know, you'd go and people would go to these parties to maybe like have something revealed about them that they maybe can't see themselves, or, you know, maybe want their future told, or any reason why somebody would go to like a fortune teller or some kind of mystical person. Right. So my grandmother takes me to this party, and I remember getting ready, but I don't remember talking about where we were going. This is a long time. I was like 6. But I do remember walking into that party, because when we walked in, there were a bunch of people just standing like in a semicircle around this guy, the guy that I was mentioning earlier. And there was no furniture in a living room in the Dominican Republic, in New York, where it's already like a matchbox. I mean, it's like 650 square feet or something like that. Like, small apartment. So there were a bunch of people, it had to be like maybe 20, maybe 30 people in the living room, standing in a semicircle around this guy. And he had like this, he had this tiny little like pot that had like a little flame in it. And like the flame was kind of flickering, and he was standing behind it with his back against the wall, like chanting and saying things and saying all these random things.
What was he saying? Like, was it Spanish, or was it just like, it was almost like he was speaking in tongues?
I think so. Like, obviously not in tongues, but like, I feel like he was like, he was
like
he
murmuring, was, like, was it like, not, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. No, he was saying, he was like articulating stuff, but I just feel like it might've just been like another language or something, you know, or maybe it was like something that he was reciting. I don't know. But what I do remember is this guy's face changing as he was chanting. Like, at one point he had like his original face, and I wasn't very close to him. I was a little further away. But at one point it was his face. Another point it was like a white woman's face. Another point it was like a young black guy's face. Like, these were different people. These were different people. And this guy was not moving.
So it wasn't like one moment he's smiling, one moment he's sticking his tongue out.
No. Not he's making different facial expressions. He has different faces of different people on his face. And even talking about it now is like, I mean, you can kind of see the goosebumps on my arm, but like, it freaks me out to this day, because I've never, ever, ever seen anything like that in anything, like ever, you know? And that's why it's so vivid to me, is because like, I know I didn't dream about it, because in order for me to dream about something like that, I'd have to see something like that. You know what I mean? And I've never seen anything like that. So
well, yeah. And especially like coming, like it's especially resonates like to me. Cause I mean, I've known you for a really long time. Hearing someone who is just very like, hey, facts are facts, man. This shit, like these are the facts. Happened. So when Bernard says it, look, I listen and I trust it. I'm like, okay, well, I know it's like, he's not just making this up.
I ain't got no reason to bullshit about some random ass story from the Heights when I was 6 years old. Like,
oh my gosh. So then what? Like, what did you guys do? Like, and then it was over? Like,
No. So it got even fucking weirder. So we're standing in the crowd, and he's doing all this chanting and stuff. And I remember at one point he stops and he looks over at this woman across the room and points at her and says, "Don't leave." This woman loses her shit. I mean, she starts, she's fucking Usain Bolt to the door. Like, she's like, I'm out of here. At one point, it looked like her feet weren't even on the ground. Like, it looked like she fucking Superman flew into the front door.
Gotta go by.
I mean, she slapped like right into the, and just collapsed and didn't move. It was the weirdest shit. That's the last thing that I remember from that night.
Did you ever have to go to another one of those again?
No, I never went back. But I remember talking to like my brother and my sister, and mm-hmm. them telling me like, yo, grandma took me to this weird party. And they were like, oh, was there like a guy there? And was he wearing something funny? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, was he like doing like a bunch of weird stuff? And like, did it look kind of creepy? And they were like, yeah. And they're like, oh, she took you to a Santeria party. I was like, this is normal. Like, y'all, really?
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
So you're.
That's the last I ever like really talked about it like that.
So. Yeah, first off, thank you for that very detailed, like, storytelling. That was awesome. I would ask more questions, but I know we don't have a two-hour podcast, so. But it's weird. As soon as you said that it was, like, no big deal and it was normal, I'm like, it reminded me, I'm like jogging back to when I very first went to New York. Now, when I first went to New York, I went there. My boyfriend was at the time was Dominican. Mm-hmm. So I went there with him, and we went to this first. I remember him saying like, hey, my friends are, we're going out drinking at this like party, like let's go. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, whatever. So we go and we end up, which I thought this was just kind of normal for New York, but we end up at like some like hole in the wall place, mm-hmm. which is normal in New York, whatever. You end up in a hole in the wall place, especially in the like Bronx.
Behind a bodega like or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So a bodega's on the corner, and then next to it was where we were going. Mm-hmm. And it was in the Bronx, it's just a Dominican neighborhood. And we go to this place. And, you know, everything is cool. Like, they're, like, passing out, like, Brugal or whatever. We're drinking on the streets. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's illegal. Oops, probably shouldn't say that. Anyway, it's fucking New York. But this is what was weird. And I think it was a Santeria party.
Mm-hmm.
It was, when I went inside, it was like this herb shop. And it was crowded.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So people were probably there to get like their little fortune read, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Or to they're watch. Like people just come to watch. Yeah,
they're watching. They're seeking the truth. I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. But there was a curtain,
mm-hmm.
in the back of that room. And I remember looking over at my boyfriend at the time and being like, where, like, what's happening? Because everyone's speaking Spanish. Like, my Spanish was decent, but it wasn't, like, so advanced to where I could understand, like,
conversations in a crowd.
Yeah, conversations in a crowd. And, like, this is my first time ever being in New York.
And yeah, I'm this just is like, all kinds of culture shocks.
Yeah, I'm like, huh. But look, I use my visual senses, and I was like, okay, we're in an herb shop. It's crowded. There's a curtain. Okay, curtains mean something they had in something.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was... Shit, man, I think I went to a Santeria party.
You might have.
And it also makes sense, because also there's a Sublime song. I ain't got no Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a million... Oh, wow, it's like...
Yep.
It's very fascinating.
Yeah, and it's like, it's something, it's cool to know that it's like so culturally unique, because like
it is,
because
I just very normal.
I just grew up with it, like, and it was like everybody just, you know, that's one of the cool things about
I think it's
about
culture. I don't really know what else, I don't know how else to. Personally, I don't know how else to compare it to like something that's Southern, but one thing that does stick out is like, I remember my mom moving to Louisiana and her saying that tent revivals, those were a thing.
Tent revivals.
And it like, yeah, it was like, a tent revival is like an outdoor, they pitch a tent. And this is when she moved to Louisiana, she saw this. Mm-hmm. It's like snake handlers and stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's just like, it's, but you would go to these tent revivals to basically like get saved.
Interesting.
And it's like, yeah, it's like where crowds of people go and they do like these extreme things and they practice whatever they believe. But somebody's like, the tent revivals my mom told me about where people were like, they're like handling snakes. They're speaking in tongues. That's why I said like the tongues thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so that was, I mean, it sounds like it's, That's amazing. Like that, it's funny.
Oh my gosh,
because that sounds like a Christian.
My mom talks about tent revivals. Yeah, it is. It has a Christian base.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know if Santeria's, I don't know. I mean, I imagine it's a Christian base.
No.
Practice.
No, Santeria, I mean, it has influences of Christianity in it, I think, but its origins are in West African religion. And West African practices, not like, cause it, yeah, I think it's just a combination of it. It's sort of like voodoo in Louisiana. You know what I mean?
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah.
New episode, maybe. Anyway, we're totally getting a little off topic. Mm-hmm. The focus was...
Well, I mean, what I was really getting at is that, like, culturally, like, I mean, like, we keep realizing is that, like, these things, like, they exist in both cultures. It's just like, mm-hmm. different ways. Like, I'm sure you've got some kind of story from your childhood that you remember that probably scared the shit out of you or something that's actually, like, very normal. Like,
yeah. I think what's normalized here and down south, and I'm going to speak from like the Southern area of the United States of America. Sorry, that was.
I feel like I should stand up and salute you the way you said that.
That was my. This is my educational voice. Ha. Huh. Anyway.
Y'all just tuned into PBS.
I know, right? In the South, I feel like down here we're really obsessed with like ghost stories. Mm-hmm. Especially being in Georgia. Savannah, Georgia is in South Georgia. It's like a ghost haunting like destination.
It's a super
of the
old
world.
Town. Super old
yeah,
town.
Yeah, super, super old town. Anyway.
In America.
yeah. I think I remember the first time that I had some friends actually call me up and say that they wanted to go ghost hunting.
Go ghost hunting?
Yeah, ghost hunting. It wasn't in Savannah. It was actually here in Henry County, Georgia.
It sounds like some Blair Witch Project shit to me.
It sounds like some white people shit.
Exactly. I'm glad you said it. Because it's definitely some white people shit.
It was like, look, I got a lot of different friends from different, and you know what? I'm blessed because of that, and I thank God every day. My friends are very colorful. my white friends are the ones that wanted to go ghost hunting. And you know what? I said, cool, no problem. Let's go fucking ghost hunting. And I know that my mom, who's going to listen to this episode, mm-hmm. she is a very curious and wondrous woman. Mm-hmm. And she said, ah, shit, I'll go with y'all. Let's go fucking ghost hunting.
I love Miss Sharon.
If there's ghosts around here, I'm going to go watch them. Anyway.
Scared no ghosts.
So, yeah, exactly. Basically, she was like, please. So we go ghost hunting here in Henry County. Those of you who are familiar with Georgia, we are, like I said once before, just about 45, 35 minutes south of Atlanta, depending on traffic. there is a place called McDonough, Georgia. We go and they, we are in the woods walking parallel to train tracks. And these, and okay, and mind you, it's like four grown-ish men, because I'm pretty sure I was like 16 or 17, and my mother. Now, they were super serious and bound and determined. Mm-hmm. And they knew the history of the area. They were like, oh, and this is actually true. You guys can Google this. If you Google Camp Creek train wreck of 1900, you'll find it. There was apparently this really bad train wreck on that track. And if you go at the right time, you can like see the train go past.
Really?
Anyway.
So it was a ghost train.
Yeah. Yeah, a ghost train, apparently. So we went and we walked with them and they were so quiet. And my mom is like,
they were fucking shook.
My mom's like, follow the light, follow the light.
Can't take Miss Sharon on no scary trips.
No, we were literally in the dark, walking next to a train track in McDonough, Georgia. Like, and then this was the best part. The guy who was leading the whole thing, he was like, no, it's really true. It's going to happen. We're going to see it.
He was more scared than anybody.
He was. He was like, it's going to happen. I hear something. And then sure enough, we hear boop, boop. And my mama said, y'all better run. A fucking train is coming. She's like, I am. Out.
I don't know if it's a ghost or a real train, but I'm fucking out of here.
It was Bernard. It was a, y'all. It was a real train. And you know what? But yeah, we ran from a real train. Like, we went ghost hunting, but instead we were just a bunch of stupid ass people walking at night next to some train tracks, and my mom
and got scared when the train came.
Yeah, she's like, y'all, we're not fucking ghost hunting. This is like, this is like real life. Like, we're like, that train hunting us.
I love Miss Sharon, man. Always, I know, always look, keeps it 1,000.
1,000% reality. So, if that wasn't enough, we ended up going to, I guess that wasn't enough, because instead of a ghost, it was an actual train. They wanted to take us to some park, and we were like watching like swing sets move in the dark in the wind.
Oh.
And that's when my mom and I were like, okay, time for us to go. It's been
real.
This has been a great night, and
it's fun. We didn't find any ghosts, but you don't always find deer when you go hunting, so it's okay.
Right. I feel like when you... Anyways. But to this day, like, my mom loves, like, ghost stories and stuff like that. I mean, everybody does. Everybody, like, the Travel Channel, there's one channel, like, if you guys are tired of watching the news, just fucking turn on the Travel Channel and watch Ghostbusters or, like, Most Haunted Places near... I mean, it's fascinating. It's... I think people have this natural thing of being fascinated by something that is so unknown. And it's like, it's also one of those things where I think this is where I think we get in front of ourselves. I think when there's something unknown, we try to understand everything about it. Yeah. And it's like, it's okay to not understand something. It's okay for things to be impossible. Like, that's what it was like as a child, you know? That's what we had when we were a child, a sense of wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, me as an adult now, like, people used to say that, like, my last place was, like, a little haunted because there were, like, some noises that would come from the laundry room, like, randomly, like, sometimes. Yeah, my last place, yeah. The one in, nobody. No, Indicator.
Oh, okay.
But I, like, as an adult, like, I walk in, like, I think growing up with that stuff, like, growing up with, like, Santeria and all of that, and being, like, very in tune with, like, the spiritual realm or whatever, it really, like, desensitized me to that shit. Because, like, I'll, like, walk in, and if I hear some shit or something, I'll just be like, oh, I know you're here. I don't want no beef. I'm not trying to disturb you or nothing. I'm just going to go grab something out the fridge and I'm going to go sit on the couch. And I'll talk out loud to those things.
You talk your way through it. You're like at peace.
Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, sometimes I think it's like, you know, family members that are like watching me or something. Like, I don't know. I think of it in a lot of different ways. That's not the shit that scares me as an adult. You said what?
I said that's kind of like a sense of comfort though, too. Especially if you've lost someone who's like really close to you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to have that feeling that they're like there.
Yeah.
And you talk it out.
Yeah. And for me, like, I feel like that just comes with like being an adult. Like that's not the shit that scares me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I've been really close to death and like, I've had, like, just like you're saying, like, I've had those really important people be right there, like, and I could feel them. Yeah. And it was more comforting to me than it was scary. Like, I was like, oh
yeah,
your body isn't here, but I feel you here. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But as an adult, no, the shit that scares me as an adult, nah, that's like bills. That's like not being able, like, you know, not accomplishing like career goals. Like, that's the shit. That's the fucking boogeyman right there. Like, that's
oh my gosh.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, we talked a lot of shit about fear and all that shit. And you know, I mean, you deal with adult shit, you know, but the important, it's like when we were talking about the dark, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, facing the dark, just walking through it, just kind of doing that shit. Cause you're gonna have to do it anyway. I mean, you could try to run, but you're gonna have to go through it anyway. So you might as well just look it in the face and be like, fuck fear.
Fuck.
And power through.
Fuck you, fear. Bye. Yeah, that's so true.
Exactly.
All right, this has been Hey Y'all, Que Lo Que with Bernard.
And Elizabeth.
And we really appreciate y'all stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for coming through. We can't wait to see y'all next time.